Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Macedonian Call around the globe, and we welcome you to Blog Talk Radio, Reaching the World. Praise God for Jesus Christ, and so glad that you've tuned in tonight, and we're coming to you from Springboro, Ohio. And if you'd like to be part of this broadcast, you call in at 347-989-8862. We have lots of prayer requests coming in, and we sure want to get those started, and we will pray about those at the end of the broadcast. It is a two-hour broadcast, and this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I say that because if you live here in the United States, you are truly blessed that you can worship Jesus Christ with freedom, that you worship the Lord, and that you are a Christian. But a lot of people over in third world countries is not that fortunate. There's a lot of persecution that takes place, and we want you to know that we are surely praying for you here in the United States. And we do have a caller here. I'm going to turn on the mic, and I want you to come in and tell us who you are and where you're located. Praise God. We are using a new browser here on our internet, and it looks like it freezes up. So our subject tonight is on time, and we'll get that caller here in just a moment. As soon as the computer refreshes, there, the mic is turned on. Come in, tell us who you are and where you're located. Looks like phone number, beginning numbers is 011. Hello? Well, praise God. The listener probably can't hear us right now. Sounds like a bad connection. I'm going to go ahead and turn in some prayer requests. Bonnie Burke said her husband is going to have a biopsy of his lungs, and we want to make sure that that's okay. We need to pray for a miracle. Also, family problems, and she says, take care. God bless the ministry. Jerry Bowen says, please pray for Bill Taylor. He is still in ICU. Tanya Green, she says, pray for Mary Stacy. She's very young, and they think she may have had a heart attack. This is her great-niece's grandma. Also, Gladys Dittmer says, Please pray for Yesai, for protection of God and closeness with him. He lives in Israel. Unspoken request too. Also a young lady married for a couple, a young married couple, for God to restore their marriage and two children who are going through the effects of the annulled marriage. Young people all over the nation. Also pray for two young girls, deliverance of drugs, God to move, and an important problem that she has in her home. So that's Sister Gladys Dittmer, those spoken requests and also unspoken requests. And if you, again, you want to be a part of this broadcast, we want you to call in at 347-989-8862. And I was wondering if that caller, if we've got connection now, go ahead and come in, tell us who you are, where you're located. The first three digits is 011. Praise God. If you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. Again, it's heisrisen38@aol.com. 770-584, come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Praise the Lord, Brother and Sister Green. It's Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise God, Brother John, and glad to have you here. And we've had a lot of snow up here in Ohio, so keep us in much prayer that people on the roads will drive safely. And we'll get you here, Brother John, here just as soon as Rachel comes in and tells her Bible scripture.
Go ye up into this feast. I go not up yet into this feast, for my time is not yet full come.
Praise God. So our subject tonight is on time. And we picked that subject. I think we might have done this earlier in the year. Not too sure, but that's our subject for tonight. And we're going to have Brother John. Are you ready, brother, to go ahead and obey God?
Okay. Some of the things there that the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me about time, and one of the things is out of Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 1. And so the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. They're talking to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he answered and said unto them, when it is the evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And what had happened is when he was talking about here is that they had come, they could discern what the weather would be. They could discern the miracle, and they had asked for a miracle from heaven, not knowing that the miracle had already arrived, and the miracle is in Jesus Christ. Tonight we don't need to seek for a sign because the time of the times is the Lord Jesus Christ being in our life. Amen. And as we look, amen, we have a way to discern. We have a way to predict the weather. Just like Sister Green said, it's snowing up in Ohio, and it's been very warm down here in Georgia the past few days and getting ready to get a little cooler here tonight. And so we live in different areas, and we live in different weathers. But the one thing is that it's the same. That's the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there'll be no sign, he said, given except for the sign of Jonas. Jonas was the sign given unto the Nineveh, amen, and the Ninevites, when he was called to, amen, that the wickedness of the Ninevites had come. These were people that didn't know the difference between their right and left hand. These were people that didn't know about repentance. But as he began to preach to them, the Lord, God the Father spoke to him out of the book of Jonah, told him to rise up, amen, and go to Nineveh, for their wickedness had come before him. And Jonah was one that had went away from the presence of the Lord, turned away, amen. And for the signing of the time, there was he at that time he went away from the presence of the Lord. But, amen, as they would come, they were looking after that sign. They were looking after the miracle. And tonight, if you're looking after the only miracle you're going to see is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sign of the time. He is, amen, for this appointed time. And just as Sister Rachel is talking about here, you know, the Bible speaks of in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They talked about, amen, when Jesus declared unto them, amen, he was getting ready to ascend up to heaven, go back. As he had came down, he was also getting ready to ascend. For he that first ascended, first descended into hell. And so as tonight, as we come, and as the Lord went through and he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto those, the Bible speaks of in Philippians and Ephesians, that we need to know tonight that if you're seeking after a sign and having that relationship with the miracles, yet you need to know tonight that even the false prophets and the false teachers in the book of Revelation will call fire down from heaven. So that's not what it's all about. The miracle, the miraculous sign is the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, the Bible teaches us, hallelujah, in the latter days, it talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and it's, or, yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 3, or, excuse me, 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, now the Spirit speaks expressly, that in the latter days, in the latter times, excuse me, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In these latter days, what's going to happen? See, Timothy was already speaking. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, that which has been before will be again. And so this was a time that, even in the time of Timothy, when the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy and keep telling him, he told Timothy, he said, Timothy, in the latter days, the Spirit speaks expressly, distinctly, that some shall depart in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, depart from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you have been driven to depart from a faith and a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is just a sign of the times. This is a sign of the latter times. You need to know that you're coming back as a time of repentance. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. We need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's teachings that people, false teachings that people will follow. Amen. He talked about that. There are those that will lead you off the path. There's a righteous path tonight, and that path is in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, straight is the gate and narrow is the path. Few be there that find it. We can only find it in the Word of God. We can only find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know, amen, that there's only one way. The Bible speaks and tells us and teaches us in John chapter 14, verse 6, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. We have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there it says in verse 2, it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In the latter days there were those, amen, that would speak lies and be hypocritical, amen, and having their very conscience, their very awareness seared with a hot iron. They had come to a place where the Bible says forbidding to marry. In other words, we don't have to marry. We can come together. We can have relationships. We can have fornication. These are things, amen, that these are the signs of the time where sin is abounding. But tonight you need to know that grace is much more abounding, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he told the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, my grace is sufficient. When the Apostle Paul was seeking for, amen, because here the Apostle Paul, amen, in the times coming into paradise, he said, it is expedient that I glory, amen, but not that I glory. He said, I will come to visions and revelation. And the Apostle Paul did come to visions and revelation, but he didn't come to a glorying in that. What he began to glory in, amen, was in his distresses, in his necessities, in his infirmities, that the power of Christ would rest upon him. Because when he sought for that, the Bible says, because lest he be exalted above measure, when he had all these revelations coming into his life, all these visions that God had showed him, even so much so that there was things that he had seen while he was in paradise, while he was in the third heaven, that was lawful for him not to even speak. It was the truth, but he would forbear. In other words, he couldn't speak. It was so beautiful. Amen. And you need to know tonight that the eye have not seen, the ears not heard, neither is in the inner heart of man, the things that God has prepared for us tonight in these latter days. Jesus Christ is that sign, that latter day sign. Hallelujah. He is the sign of the time. He is the miracle of the time. He is the miraculous. Amen. And the Bible says, They were forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. There were certain meats, amen, they had talked to you. You can't eat this, you can't eat that. There are certain meats that you have to abstain from, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving. God has created meats to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, everything that he's created for believers, amen, tonight. And so if you'll believe and give thanks for this and know the truth, for every creature of God, verse 4, is good and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You need to know tonight that what we take into our body, what you eat, amen, is sanctified, set apart by the word of God and by prayer. He said, what I've cleansed, call that not common. Hallelujah. And so tonight, amen, there's a reaching out. There's a cleansing of the word of God. He said, the words I speak into you, amen, they are spirit and life. He talks about in John chapter 15. He said, you're clean by the words I've spoken unto you. Tonight, amen, we need to know that. Hallelujah. And the last time, so the Bible says there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, and there in starting in verse 2, it says, and they that have believing masters in them, despise them that are brethren, but rather give them service because my page is tore there. But anyhow, benefit these things, teach and exhort. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ into the doctrine which is according to godliness. Doctrine is according to godliness. The Bible says all scripture is given for reproof, for instruction, for doctrine. Amen. And tonight we need to make full proof of our ministry tonight. We need to reach out. For those underneath the sound of my voice, amen, that this is the time. Today is the day of salvation. This is the time, amen, to coming in and seeing, amen, hallelujah. The Bible says, verse 4, which according verse 3 says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ into the doctrine which is according to the godliness. His teaching is according to his godliness. Verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of word, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputing of men of corrupt mind and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Now you got to remember, Paul's writing to Timothy. He's saying, here's what's going to happen. They're going to have strife of words. They're going to have envy. They're going to have strife. They're going to have railings, evil surmisings. They're going to have perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth. In other words, they have no truth in them. There are people that have no truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. Tonight, we need to have the truth. We need to have the Lord Jesus Christ. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. He told Timothy that there would be ones that were teaching. And would say the more material possessions you are, the more godly you are. The greater things that you have, he said, from such, turn away from. Draw away from them. Go away from them. But godliness with contentment is great gain. That's true gain tonight. For we brought nothing into this world, and insert we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us there be with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. This is the perils of riches. This is the perils of men of coming in these latter days. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after it, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Some have coveted after the great riches. Some have coveted after this teaching that's in the latter times. But he said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow. These are the things we are to follow, church, tonight. He says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight, good fight of faith, lay hold on to eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're all waiting for. We're waiting for that time of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in his time, oh, it's in his time tonight, church, in his time, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus Christ, when he appears in his time, he's going to show who the Lord of lords is. He's going to show who the King of kings. Let me ask you something tonight. Do you know who it is who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. there are those, amen, tonight, amen, that's coming. He's going to come and show himself. And then I've got one more scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, times of violence. And the Bible says, for men, here's what will be in the last times, in our times, unfortunately. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of them that are good. This is what's happening, and this is what's happening in these latter days. They're despising the good. The Bible says believers would be hated without a cause. There are many of you who need to sound my voice, not only in this country, but in other countries that are listening right now. You're being hated because of his namesake. You're being despised and persecuted because you believe in this one called Jesus. Hallelujah. Even as the time, amen, we think of the time that we're coming in, we're talking about, the queen, amen, that came in, and he said, you come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Right now, church, you need to know that every one of you that's in the sound of my voice have came to this program, came to this broadcast to hear for such a time as this, to build up the kingdom, to build up the kingdom of God that's within you. It says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It talks about there. There's another thing we need to turn away from. They're having a form of godliness. All around the world there are people that have a form of godliness, but they're denying the very power of the godliness thereof. They're denying the Lord Jesus Christ. They're denying the Holy Spirit. For of this sort are they which creep in the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. These are those that have a form of godliness. They're never coming to Jesus. They're never coming to the truth. They're never coming to times. They're never coming to grip. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, now James and Jambres withstood Moses. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. These two men were the magicians, amen, amen, that followed Moses there in the book of Exodus. But you need to know tonight there are those that some of you have been deceived. Some of you have been deceived, amen, because of the things and following false doctrines, the seducing spiritual doctrine of the devil. But tonight the time is, this is the time. This is the time that you need to accept Jesus. This is the accepted time. It's high time. Today, right now. Don't put it off tomorrow. Some of you already know what it's going to be like. I don't know what it's going to, the weather is going to be like. Some of you, it's basically probably cold all around the world right now, but here's right now. Some of you have snow. Some of you have freeze. There's a great wind going across Europe and in England and things, and it's even caused some deaths, about seven deaths, I think. We're praying for you. Amen. Some of you other countries that are just getting over storms and hurricanes and typhoons and things like this. But this is the thing here. Amen. There's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only potentate tonight. He's the King, King, and Lord of Lords. And it's time today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him because he's coming back. But you can have him right now. You can have him right there where you're at, no matter where you're at right now. You can receive him as Lord and Savior right now. It's time right now to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're not promised tomorrow. It's high time. These are the signs of the time. This is what they had, but tonight you have Jesus Christ. He's the sign that should be given. And will you look to him? Because he's the author and finisher of your faith. Because it's time and high time that we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And those of you that are listening right now, it's just like Queen Esther. That's who I was trying to think of a while ago. She came into the kingdom for such a time as coming forth, because her people were being persecuted. Some of you, I need to sound my voice, have been promoted and come to a place right where you're at, because for such a time as this. This is the time. Don't put off tomorrow. Put your hand to the plow. Don't look back, because we have no promise of tomorrow. Go ahead, Brother Sister Green.
Praise God, Brother John, and we sure appreciate that word. And yes, we're praying all over the world for those that are having bad storms and fatality in your families. And, you know, it pays to be ready. That's, like Brother John said, that today's the day of salvation. We've got to get ready, folks. And I tell you, this is a good subject. He said, Brother John said, they will confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and every tongue, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Pastor John, you want to tell us where your church is located and your service time?
Yes, we're located at 114 East Main Street in Thompson, Georgia. We're about 70 miles south of Atlanta, Georgia. We're on the main street, just about a block off the square. Right now we have changed our service time for Sunday. For some of our people, right now we're meeting at 2 p.m. And we're just having one service on Sunday, and then for right now until the spring. And then on Sunday night we're having 6 p.m. service. So if you're in the area, please come and be with us, and we'll just make you welcome. We once again, we thank the Lord for the opportunity to come on this program and be a part of this broadcast and just preaching this gospel all over the world, and we thank the Lord for it.
Praise God. And is your wife, is she around? Does she want to sing a song, Brother John?
She's not here right now. We, our daughter-in-law, Melanie, be praying for her. We're actually over at my son's house right now. They're in the hospital right now, and we had to come over here real quick and take care of our granddaughter while they're in the hospital emergency room. She's having some pains. They don't really know what's wrong with her yet, so they're up at the hospital right now in the emergency room. So just remember Joshua and Melanie Sample, if you would, please.
Amen. Let's go to prayer right now for, and Lord, in the name of Jesus,
thank
God,
you,
touch
them. Yes, Father, I pray right now, Father, that you
in the name of Jesus,
are
God,
fearful.
God,
and I pray right
Lord.
Now that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would
Lord
touch them.
God,
Lord,
we
right
believe
now. Lord, they're in the hospital. Yes. Lord,
Brother John
in the
and his wife
Lord,
is going to hear a good report.
Daughter-in-law
is
going to
just find Lord.
We have a good report for all these ones that are coming forward.
And in grace,
reach down and
touch her,
Lord,
in the name of Jesus,
right now.
Pray you, God, we ask you to touch all these folks around the world. God has gone through all this storm, dear Lord, and having fatalities in their family. And God, we ask you to protect them and shelter them from the storm.
God, we
Lord,
just give you glory.
In the name of Jesus, God, we pray you. We thank you, give you the glory, Lord. Thank you for this broadcast. Dear Lord,
yes,
if one's not saved, dear God, Lord, we ask that you touch their hearts right now, God, in the name of Jesus, and them, Lord, to repent, to give their heart to you, Lord, for time is at hand. In the name of Jesus, God.
Praise you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Tell Sister Samples anytime she wants to come on here, Brother John, and just obey God, she's more than welcome.
I appreciate that. I know she appreciates that, too. Yeah, she... a lot of times on our other, you know, Brother Yearwood broadcast, she's having to deal with the grandchildren too. But yeah, we appreciate the offer. Yeah, she's an ordained minister, and we appreciate the opportunity that, you know, she can minister and we're in a song. We appreciate the opportunity for that. Yeah, we had actually years ago, God began to speak to me in the late 60s and told me that we'd be, you know, I'd be preaching all over the world, He told me again in the 70s, and then told us again in the 80s. He told me and my wife both that, you know, we'd be speaking in different countries. He gave me some specific countries, and I thought it was sort of neat when we, and then God spoke to me, you know, a couple of years ago and said, that, you know, that God would empower us to go all over the world. And when, you know, when with Brother Yearwood and all of them, and through your broadcast and the opportunity and God opened the door, then what I thought was really neat was as there's certain specific countries was some of the first countries that heard that when we come in and we preach to them, you know, God has spoken to us, you know, spoken to me like in the 60s and said, you'd be speaking in this country, which we've had the opportunity to be in Canada and Mexico and just about every state except for Alaska and Hawaii here in the States and ministering them. But we just praise the Lord that those countries that he has spoke that I would be preaching in were some of the countries on the broadcast. So I praise the Lord for that.
Praise God. hear that now that you've mentioned that, I feel like telling a dream that I had back in 2011. And I was between sleeping, partly asleep and partly awake. And I remembered that a voice was talking with me, and someone that was with me was saying to me, October 10 and 11. And I spoke back and I said, is that a date? And the voice that was with me spoke and said, yes. And I said, well, Revelations chapter 10 and 10 and 11 talks about John the Revelator, how he ate up the little book and his mouth was sweet and in his stomach was it was bitter. And I couldn't remember what verse 11 said. And I woke up and I told Clinton, I said, my husband, I said, what does Revelation 10, chapter 10 and 11 say? And neither one of us could remember, so I got up and I went and opened my Bible, and I looked into it, and Revelation 10 and 11, verse 10 says, and I took, talking about John, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And verse 11, which I didn't know what it said, said, and he said unto me, talking about the angel, said, and John said, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Yeah. And that was, so the date, October 10, 2011, hadn't come yet, but it was like early, maybe middle September of that year. So, of course, October the 10th, 2011, I was looking for something unordinary, out of the ordinary to happen that day, and it, nothing happened. So then I began to meditate on that and ask God, what does this mean, Lord? I know Revelations chapter 10 and verses 10 and 11, you're speaking to John, the Revelator. And in Revelation chapter 10, I know October is the 10th month. And so chapter 10, I knew Revelations. I don't know why I spoke that back, but it was all God. So chapter 10, and it's October 10, and verses 10 and 11, that we're going to prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Amen. But that amazes me, and that's before this had gotten started. Brother Yearwood, he also tried to get us to do this a long time ago when he first came back on the second time. I know 2008 he did this, and then he started it up again. I think, do you know what year that was, Brother John?
I don't remember, Sister, how long we've been on.
I'm thinking it was 2012.
Yeah, I think so too.
So all this had begun to take place after 2011, the year 2011. So, again, it's God, and God showing you in the 60s and the 70s, and it's just amazing. And thank God, Sister Gladys Dittmer, she felt led to, we had asked her if she would come on as often. We invite a lot of people to come in, but I don't know if people just don't understand it, how it works, because it's technology. You know, it's kind of could be difficult, but I just praise the Lord for this. I thank God He's given us the opportunity, and you know, I've said it many times. By all means, we're not trying to make our names big or nothing like that, and we're by all means me and Clinton and I don't speak proper English, and we're not trying to be professional, but we just want to get God's word out there.
Amen.
So we sure do appreciate you, Pastor.
Appreciate you, Brother.
Well, pray for Brother Yearwood and Sister Yearwood. They're not on tonight that I don't see. They could be listening by internet. Sometimes they'll call in later. So I know there's some circumstances that God's begin to move for them on. So just keep them in prayer. And we sure appreciate them, too, if it hadn't been for God and them, I would have never known about this here opportunity. So We're going to come to you with this here song. If you want to be a part of this broadcast, it's 347-989-8862. Praise God. God, time to come back home, child. So if you've been out there wandering in that wilderness, it is time. There is no better time than the present. Praise God. And once you start serving the Lord, you'll see there's no better life than this here, right here. This is it. Praise God. And you're getting ready for eternity. So don't get your mind on things that are temporal, but set your mind on things that are for eternity. Praise God. And we're going to have 661, come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Hi, Sister Green. This is Gladys Dittmer, and I'm out of Moorhead, Kentucky. And praise God for you guys giving me the opportunity to come on here. He's just a glorious God, and that's where I'm from.
Praise God, sis. Go ahead and obey God.
Okay, I first wanted to give God glory and honor. I believe that this is the time and place to do it. I give him praise and glory. Like you ask each week, Sister Green, if anyone has a praise report or they have a prayer request, and I know that our prayers are going out, and when it's going out to 50,000 people, I know God's intervening for our needs, and people cry out. They may not know who we are, but it doesn't matter if they don't know our name. God knows our name, and I praise him for that. And I praise God for Pastor Kenny Mobley. He had a stroke a few weeks ago. That was the time I was in the hospital. God brought me home, and he's getting a little feeling in his foot, and I thank God that he's recovering. And I know God's a God of restoration, and I believe by faith, Sister Green, that he's going to raise Brother Kenny up to where he can do what he did before. And I praise God. I put it in request for my second cousin. He was in a coma because of a car accident. He was hit by a semi. And they said he would have 2% chance of coming out of that coma. But he's alive and well, and he's out of the hospital. He doesn't wear a neck brace. He's laughing. He's talking like he did before, and he's watching football. That's the God I serve, and I praise him. I really want to give him glory and honor for our little boy. You know, I'd ask you to pray for him earlier. His name is Yishai, and he's a 10-year-old Christian boy. And what I praise him for is I know God's keeping him in a hedge of protection. You know, I thank him for that, that not all 10-year-old boys would take the time to listen to your broadcast, but last week he did, and I thank God for that. God's embedding the seeds into his heart, and I glorify him for that. And I pray that God will continue to keep a hedge of protection around this young boy. He's got the heart for God. And there's three boys at school that want to bully him, but I believe God's going to intervene and take care of that situation. I correspond with his mom on Internet, and I believe, like you said, Sister Green, Internet can be used for good things. And I just want what I do to glorify God. And I thank him for it. I wanted to read, first off, in it's a short scripture, but all the scriptures are good. And it's Mark 13:33. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Matthew 25:1-13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, while the bridegroom tarried. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye there rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 25:5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Got my scriptures broke up tonight. When it's talking about the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus is tarrying tonight. And I think it's time, it's high time for each and every one that truly wants to go to heaven. They need to decide which master they're going to serve. You'll either serve one or you'll serve the other. You can't serve two masters in this world. And I want everyone that hears the sound of my voice and the ones that preach after me to know it's time. Slumbering and sleeping in the pews and at home is over. You've got to get your mind made up. You've got to have your foot on the rock, and which is the word of God. You've got to have your salvation gathered up with the Lord. You've got to take your sword daily, your word of God, to get to heaven. You've got to shake yourself if you need to. There's people that's walked out of the houses of God, and there's people that, like the brother was saying, Brother John, he said there's a falling away. Many people have felt like saying, you know, we've been hearing that preaching of the word of God that Jesus is coming back. But I'll tell you today, Jesus is one day closer than he was yesterday. And I know that God I serve is willing and waiting, and he's just going to one day say, enough's enough. go and get my bride. And I want to be a bride that's groomed and waiting. He said, you can't go into heaven with any blemishes. We need to get it right today. We can't just dabble in sin. Many people today, I believe, they just walk as closely to that line of sin as they possibly can and say, well, a little sin won't hurt me. Honey, a little sin will take you straight to hell, and that's not where we want to go. I've got peace in my mind to know if I was to leave this world today that I'd be in the arms of Jesus. And I praise him for that, Sister Green. I know that if we keep our lamps trimmed and burning, I've learned over time that if there's a lamp sitting on your desk, if you let it get all sooty, and thing that goes up in the middle, that thing that you've got to keep trimmed, if it gets all sooty and black, that lamp won't even shine. And I know this much, we need to keep our lamps trimmed and burning. We need to get in the Word of God and say, Lord, if there's anything in me that's not of you, help me get it out. Lord, let me be of a pure, clean heart, Lord. Let me have a mind like you, Lord, and help me to walk uprightly before this world today. Let us be bright lights in dark places. There's plenty of dark places out there today. And like Brother John was saying, there's many people, and Sister Green was saying, there's many people being persecuted today in those foreign countries that can't carry a Bible. They have to hide in the bushes. They have to hide to seek God's face. But I know in the states that we live, I want to take advantage of the liberties I have and let people know we serve a God that loves you. No matter what you've done in your past, Jesus will heal your body. He will heal your mind. And he'll restore things. He's a God of restoration. That's why I put in them prayer requests of the hurting people. Today we are falling close by in the church houses and outside of the church houses. People every day that we walk into are hurting. They may put a smile on their face, but deep inside they're crying out, can't someone say a word of kindness? Many times today people are in a hurry. They just want to get where they're going and just say, I don't have time for you. Well, we need to take time because we don't know what day and hour Jesus is coming back. When God says, go get my bride, I want to know that I don't have blood on my hands because I didn't reach out to someone that was hurting, whether it be on a church pew or whether it be out in the world today. I want to go next to Matthew 26:40. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Go down to Mark 14:32-42. And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. They didn't know what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. I believe it was a grievous time in the Garden of Gethsemane. I believe Jesus knew what he had to do, and I know, just like we are, he was a spirit in a man-made flesh. And I know that each of us fight our flesh daily, but what we got to do is get that flesh under control. Live in the spirit, man. And I know that it had to be hard, as Jesus knew the struggle and the battle that he'd have to face. But yet he wanted to do what the Father asked of him. He laid and laid out in that garden, and he cried great drops of tears. It said in the Word of God that they became blood. It says when you're strained like that you will bleed like that. But I know in that hour, I'm sure it was grievous to go to the garden and find the disciples sleeping. And I believe the church somewhat in different ways is that way. But I want to be a pleasing church like it speaks of in Revelations. You know, the devil wants to keep the church out of Revelations. When I was a young Christian, it scared me. I said, Lord, I don't understand. I can't read that. It makes me afraid. But today the church needs to wake up, Sister Green, and realize this is a book for the church. We need to get in it and read it every bit that we know how. Find a Bible-believing church that will preach you the truth, and they will let you know the truth and the Word of God. In Matthew 10:19, he said, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Now, I'm preaching right now, in these last few minutes, that in the foreign countries that I speak to, I know many of you are already being persecuted, but know that God cares about you. He sent Jesus to the cross to die for you, and he cares and loves you, and I know we will face many things before we're raptured out here. We're taken home. In the book of Revelation, the church is never heard of anymore after chapter 4. But I won't get into that. I just know this much, that as we face persecutions in our daily hour, as time progresses, and I don't believe we have much time, Sister Green, we need to live it, we need to walk it, we need to talk it. I wouldn't be on here preaching if I didn't live it. But I praise God that he in me preaches. He said, greater is he that's in me, the Christ that's in me, than he that's in the world today. So I know that when the devil sends some kind of temptation or he sends some kind of flood my way, whether it be outside of my home or inside my home, I'm speaking of floods like temptations or trials. We each fight battles. But I know with the Lord Jesus Christ and to stand on his word of God, I know we'll make it. He said he'd make a way when there seemed to be no way. And I praise him for that. And I just want to give him glory, Sister Green, for all these scriptures. And it is high time. It's time for us to get along with God and say, Lord, help me seek you in a greater and deeper way, deeper and stronger way. I want to get more knowledge and wisdom. He said the people perish for the lack of knowledge. And I want to seek God's face for more wisdom, more knowledge, because I don't want to perish. I want to be able to speak to others and lift them up and encourage them. I guess that's something the Lord put on my heart, is when you see someone down, put on a smile. Just give them the best that you can give them. Lift them up and lift their name to Jesus. When people share stuff to me, I've learned a long time ago that God doesn't like, he doesn't like a blabbermouth. And I've learned that a long time ago. You need to keep what people tell you quietly. Go to the Lord in prayer. You know, when he says to, you know, when the Bible says to go to others, you better be careful who you go to. I know the one that doesn't go and blab it all is Jesus. Just take what your needs are to Jesus, and he will take care of them. And I thank him tonight. I appreciate you, Sister Green and Brother Green. I pray that Brother Green's feeling better. I thank God for you in this broadcast. You know, I didn't have anybody prophesy to me, and sometimes you sit back after hearing so many prophecies. And in all honesty, I don't share this that I'm on here. It's not that I'm ashamed. So some people get mad and they get jealous. But I know this much. We need to boast about the Lord and all he's doing. But I don't boast on me. I have nothing to boast about except the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Sister Green.
Praise God. Very well said, Sister Gladys. And if Sister Gladys is speaking to you tonight and you're that one that's been sleeping and slumbering and maybe you've not been about the Father's business, maybe you've kind of grown cold on the Lord and maybe you think you're okay and disobedient, it's the same as witchcraft. And you may not be out bluntly sinning, but you may not be doing what God's told you to do, and to be disobedient is not good. So you need to get your lamps trimmed and burning and be on fire for God and shake yourself, stir up the gifts within you and pray again and get about the Father's business and fast and let God put that zeal back in your life because time is short and that's what this is about tonight. It's about time. Time is definitely winding up, and if you want to be a part of this broadcast, it's 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. If you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com, and feel free to email any comments you might have, any prayer requests, testimonies. That's all good. Praise God. And at this time, I want to also give a couple more prayer requests. Beverly Moore says to pray for her son, J.D. God knows all about it. Keep him in your prayer. And Pam Blevins, she's in school, and she's asking us to pray that she passes all her finals next week. Praise God. And she's also praising the Lord for miracles in her life since she had a valley she went through last week, and the Lord has brought her out of it. Praise God. So we thank the Lord for that. And we're going to go ahead and get this here next song going. And we appreciate you, Sister Gladys and Brother John. Just hang in there, and we've got another hour and 5 minutes to go. Praise the Lord.
Time is winding up.
Praise God. That song there tells you the truth. Time is winding up, and we best get ready. And I was thinking there while she was singing that song in Matthew 24, talks about the wars and rumor of the wars, but the end is not yet. But when they persecute you, Jesus said, for my name's sake, for his name, for Jesus' name, that's when the beginning of sorrow, that's when it's the beginning of the end, praise God. And you know that's happening, and there we never dreamed it would come to our own land, but it's here, folks. And it's time to get ready. There's famine all over the world for the word of God. And he said this here would be preached unto all the world, this gospel. And it has, and people are trampling it underfoot. And at this time, I'm going to turn this over to Brother Green, and you all pray for him. He has had really been fighting this. He has allergies, and it gets to him, and he takes on coughing spells. So we're going to keep him in prayer as he begins to minister. Praise the Lord, and I'll be here on standby. Thank God.
Praise God. It's good to be with you. Thank God for those that's already ministered tonight, and I agree with what they're saying, that, you know, it's high time to wake out of sleep. It's high time to get our hearts right with God. If we got any ought against our brother, neighbor, anybody like that, well, we need to have a little talk with Jesus and... And, you know, we might have to even have a little talk with somebody else if, you know, if it's needful. But I tell you, the Lord, he can take care of anything. If there's a sin, we've sinned against anybody, we've sinned against the Lord. And he's the one that forgives our sins. And can't nobody else forgive your sin? You know, you can't go to a man-made judge or anybody like that and get your sins forgiven. You might get problems took care of and things like that. And last week we preached on judgment and how that judgment must first begin at the house of God, and how that if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged with the world, because God's going to judge this world one of these days. And it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And, you know, we said some things about it. We didn't cover the whole scope of it. But I judge myself every day. I try to keep my body under subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself would be a castaway. But I don't want to be no castaway, praise God. And we're preaching tonight, that, like I say, this is a Macedonian call around the globe. And we come, sometimes we get on with Brother Yearwood, and we preach on his broadcast. And I was hoping he'd come on with us tonight, but he might be busy. Praise God. I want to turn to Genesis, first of all, chapter 8. And I want to start there, chapter 8. And Noah was coming down from off the ark, and the water had subsided, and the dry land had appeared, and Noah came out of the ark. And the Bible says here in verse 20, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And we're talking today a little bit about seed time and different things. And God said that while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest would always be here, and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. And many parts of the world, it's exactly that way. In most parts of the world, we have summer, we have winter. Unless you live in a tropical zone, then you're going to be in this climate of summer and winter. And usually in the summertime, it's time to plow the ground. It's time to get the seed and gather it up. And hopefully you've already got it gathered up for the next year. And you've got it on hand. And the Bible tells us about how that the sower went out and sowed. And I want to turn to Matthew chapter 13 and talk a little bit about that, about the sower. Praise God. I tell you, if it was ever time to sow, I'd say today is the time to sow seed. And, you know, we're talking today about spiritual seed. We're not talking about natural seed, but in the natural, you've got to sow it. You've got to put it in the ground, and you've got to keep the weeds out. Once it comes up, you've got to cultivate it, and hopefully before you plant the seed, you put fertilizer in the ground, and you know, and then when it comes up, you water it so that it will grow. And once that we're born again of the Spirit of God, see, we get the seed, the life of God in us. And I want to start here. I think I'll start with Matthew 13, 24. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 13:24 says here, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now I want you to know here that he said that the kingdom of heaven was like a man there in verse 24 that sowed good seed in his field. He didn't just go out there and sow any kind of seed, but he got the good seed and he sowed it. And you know, today the Word of God is the good seed. A lot of people are trying to come up with other versions of the Bible, and it's not actually the Word of God. But I tell you, we need to keep the good seed, and we need to sow the good seed. Praise God. And he sowed it in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. You know, notice that when you plant a garden, I tell you, you can sow good seed. You can have the right kind of seed, but it wouldn't be too long. You go out there and you see there's other things coming up. And you didn't have to sow those things. They just came up. And that's the way it is. You see, there's good people in your churches, and there's also that the devil has planted some people in the churches. And we have to let everything grow together. But the Bible said an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. So, you know, as a minister of the gospel or evangelist or teacher, we must treat everybody good, treat everybody right. And, you know, I don't read, I don't know if there's anywhere in the Bible where I believe, you know, a person could start out maybe a tare and to get the Word of God and be changed. I know we all were sinners at one time. I know we've all made mistakes and we've all come short of the glory of God. And, you know, I'm not going to go out here and try to beat people up and throw them out of the church because I don't think they're doing right. I'm going to preach to them the Word of God, and I'm going to trust God to move on what I've preached. And he said that his word would not come back void, that it would accomplish that whereto he sent it. And, you know, I go out here to an apple tree, and I see green apples on the tree. Well, I don't need to try to pull those apples off and eat them because they're green. But that don't mean it ain't an apple tree, see? Sometimes it takes time for the fruit to mature and for the fruit on that tree to become what it was meant to be. But the potential is there when the Word of God is put forth into the person and they receive the Word into their heart. Well, they can cultivate that Word, and get that Word watered, and they can come back to the house of God and hear over and over the same scripture sometimes. And then one day it'll click, and they'll say, yeah, that's what it means, and I need to get measuring up to this. And they can be changed. So we don't want to lose anybody. You know, we want everybody to be saved. We want them to have eternal life. And we want to give people every opportunity that it takes to and be as long-suffering as we possibly can be so that we can see souls saved. I thought about Jacob, you know, when he came back out of that country there, where he had ran from his brother and went down there and worked for Laban. And he had stayed in that country for 20 years, and it was time to leave. And he had children, but they weren't very old. And he had herds and cattle and that, and much stuff that he brought back out of there. And he told them, he said, don't overdrive them. He said, they're tender. You know, you can destroy the flock if you push it too hard. You push the flock and you push the people too hard, you can destroy the flock because they're tender. And many of them's young and they don't understand things. And we must be long-suffering and gentle, have meekness and temperance. And we can't get all irate and out of whack, because if we do, we're going to destroy the flock. Praise God. All right, let's go on a little farther here. Praise God. Okay, I just read to you Matthew 24 through 30. And that last verse said, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You see, the kingdom of heaven, and we're talking about time. We're talking about a time to sow and, you know, a time of harvest. And I want to back up here and talk about a sower. Chapter 13, it says in verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Praise God. Now I want to look here at verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. So here he was talking about a sower was going forth to sow. And he said here, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. In other words, it came up fast, because they weren't buried very deep, and they didn't have much earth. The ground was shallow. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But the other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So he was telling here about the seed, and he was saying that a sower went out and sowed the seed, and it fell into different kind of ground. And it's doing that today. It's falling in all different kind of ground. And we don't have no control over the kind of ground that it falls into, but we do have control on whether or not we're going to sow the seed. We're commanded by the Lord to go and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." So we don't have no control on who's going to be saved. The only thing we can control is get the seed and broadcast it. You know, that's what we're doing tonight. We're broadcasting the seed. We're telling about the good things of God and telling people that they can have eternal life, that they can get this seed on the inside, and this seed will bring forth life. And this seed we're preaching tonight is the Word of God. The sower went forth and he sowed the seed, and it's basically talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he came down here and he spread the word, and he sowed the seed, and he preached the gospel. And as he went, he ran into many different kind of people. And some of them was received it, and some of them rejected it. And they went so far as finally rejecting not only the message, but they rejected the messenger. And he was that messenger sent from God. And the world had been waiting a long time for this messenger. And they had been looking for him. And many had prayed that they would live long enough to see him. And we find record in the Bible there in the New Testament where he came into the temple when he was a little child. His mother and father brought him into the temple, Mary and Joseph. And they said that they could depart because they had seen the Lord's Christ and they had seen the Savior of the world. One of them made that statement, and maybe both of them. But you can read that if you read Matthew chapter 1 and 2, Luke 1 and 2. You can find these things. But the sower was the Son of God, and he came to sow the seed. And he said, "The words that I speak, they're not my words, but they're the Father's words." And I think we talked a little bit about this last week, how that God was going to raise up a prophet like unto Moses, and he was going to raise up this prophet from amongst his brethren, which would be the Jewish people there. And they was to hear that prophet, and except they would hear that prophet, they could not be saved. And they would be cut off. There'd come a day when they'd be cut off. And, you know, that day's still coming. That day's a-coming on the judgment day when we all stand before God and the books are opened. And that day is coming right on time, I should say. Everything, I believe, in the Bible came just right on time. He's an on-time God. Somebody sings that song. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. So you see, this sower went forth to sow, and I want to know something today. Question, have you ever went forth to sow? Have you ever, on purpose, got you some seed? I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about some scriptures, about what must I do to be saved, Bible scriptures. And you can find them in the Bible. There was a man asked the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they told him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And so he repented, no doubt. The Bible said that they preached unto him the word of the Lord. And they took him out in his household, and they were baptized the same hour of the night. It don't take all day to find Jesus. It just takes a prayer that when you're repenting from your heart, when you really mean business with God, and thought about that eunuch there in Acts chapter 8. It didn't take him long to find God. He was reading in the book of Isaiah about how that he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. And it was telling about the beating that he took there in Pilate's judgment hall, and when they whipped him at the whipping post, and the things that they'd done to Christ there, and the Roman soldiers had done to Christ. And he said, who is he talking about, himself or some other man? He was reading the book of Isaiah, and the evangelist talked to him there and told him, said, he preached Jesus to him right there. He said he's talking about Jesus. And no doubt when that eunuch had went up there to Jerusalem to worship and Christ had been crucified, not too many years before that, I don't know how many, and they were probably still talking about Jesus. They were probably preaching on the street corners and telling about how Christ had died for our sins. They tried to hush it up and tried to stop it, but they couldn't stop it. But I'm asking you, did you ever just get you some seed, and did you ever do it on purpose and just go out and maybe knock on doors, or maybe go out to where people are shopping and taking you some scriptures and passing them out? And if you do that, you're sowing precious seed, and there'll be a day of reaping. There'll be a payday someday for the things that you do for Christ. I'm thinking, you know, in the scriptures here, this man said, I'm going to get me some seed, and I'm going to sow it, and that's exactly what he done. And we need to do that more often than what we do. Brother John said that today was the day of salvation, and that's what time we're living in. We're living in the time of salvation. In 2 Corinthians 6, the Bible tells us there, if I can find it right quick, 2 Corinthians, I don't guess I can turn to it, but he has heard us in a accepted time and in the day of salvation, is what he said. And I was thinking about that, and then he turned around and said, behold, now is the day of salvation. So when Paul was preaching back then, it was in the day of salvation. And you know, the day of salvation is still going on today. But one of these days, that door of mercy is going to close. You see, I don't know how long sometimes a day is with the Lord, but the Bible said one place that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So, you know, God can close the door on anything he wants to at any time if he says the time is up. And Paul preached it, that the Lord was coming, and he preached that they were in the day of salvation. And he said, behold, now is the day of salvation. So if the day of salvation was in his day, it's in our day. We're living in the last days. The Bible says in the last days that God would pour his Spirit out upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters would prophesy, dream dreams, see visions, and different things would happen, and the gifts of the Spirit would be in operation in the churches. And we're definitely living in, I believe, in the last of the last days. And I believe that the enemy is trying to come up with counterfeits and trying to mimic the gifts of the Spirit. And just like Brother John said, it's going to get to where that people sometimes are going to go and run after the signs instead of running after what the Bible says. And we can't run after signs, but we gotta run after what the Bible says. And I know there will be signs, follow them that believe. But, you know, when people go to calling far down from heaven, in Revelation, I believe it is 13, the Bible said that they would be a man of sin, come along with a false prophet, and they would be calling far down from heaven in the sight of men. And they would do things that, if it were possible, that the very elect would be deceived. But I'm telling you, if you stay in the Word of God and you stay with what Jesus said, you'll not be deceived. But many will be deceived. The Bible tells us that they will. And let's see, I want to read in Jeremiah 4. I wrote that down somewhere, but I don't see it. Let's go to something else. In Matthew 13, 36 through 43, Matthew 13, praise God. Well, let's read this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Well, if we're born again, I want to say if we're born again, we're a new creature. And if we're not, then I'd say we're of the old order. We're still just a natural person, and we've not got the new birth. And no matter how good, in verse 52, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder. In other words, if you're a pastor today or a preacher, you might be very well educated, and you may be instructed very well. But even though you may preach the finest messages, and you might teach the greatest and the best doctrine, you're still going to have people that are not going to be born again. Because the Bible tells us it's like a great house. The kingdom of heaven is like a great house, and it brings vessels. It's got vessels in it, and these vessels is different types of vessels. There's some of gold and silver, and there's some of brass, and then there's some of wood and different things. So what I'm saying is we just do the best we can, and we got to leave it in God's hands. And if souls come in and be saved, well, we thank the Lord. And if people hear the word of God, we thank God for it. But we can't control what them people do after they hear the word. We can't control them, and we can't force them to do things and make them do things, but they've got to want to. I had to want to get saved when I came to Jesus. I had to want to give my heart to Christ, and they could not make me give my heart to Christ. I had to do this on my own. I had to see my need for him. And I had to respond to that need. I want to speak another scripture here to you. It's in Matthew 13:31. It's the mustard seed and the leaven. It says, Another pearl put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So what I'm saying here is, when I read this, I thought about the book of Daniel. I thought about how Daniel said that one day the kingdom of this whole world, and I want to turn over there in the book of Daniel, if I can find it right quick, in the 7th chapter and the 22nd verse. Let's see, 21, I'll start 21. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the ancients of days came. The ancient of days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And in verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So we see here that there was going to be war with the saints in verse 21, and this here horn we're talking about here in Daniel chapter 7, and you can turn back there and read that for yourself, but it's also mentioned in the book of Revelation that the saints, a lot about the saints of God, they're going to be saints here. The church may not specifically be named, but there's going to be saints here, and they're going to have some trouble with this man of sin. I want to turn over to 2 Thessalonians, and I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible's telling us here, and the times are coming when the man of sin will be revealed. And the times are coming when there will be our gathering together unto him. And if we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." He said there would be a falling away first, and we believe that. And he put a comma there, falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So we go and look at this, and if we look at the first 12 verses, we're looking at the bad. We're looking at people that are going to follow the Antichrist spirit. We're looking at people that are not going to get right with God. And if we go down to the 13th verse, we find a different kind of people. This is chapter 2, and I want to read this in verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel." You see, Paul was preaching the gospel, and he was preaching it way back there in the early church, and he was preaching about that Antichrist spirit, and he was telling them that the man of sin was going to come, and that they was not to be taken out of the way by this seducing spirit. They were not to follow the mystery of iniquity, and for if they did, and if they let that control their life, they would be taken out of the way. And he was telling them in verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He's talking about the man of sin. And not only will the man of sin take people out of the way, but following that spirit that's in the world today, that Antichrist spirit will take people out of the way. But he said here in verse 13, well, in verse 12, verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So he's talking here in chapter 2 about two different kinds of people. He's talking about the people that's going to follow the devil, or going to follow the devil's advocate, are going to follow false doctrine and that. And then he's talking about the good people in verse 13 to 17. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, I know this is controversial, but I'm telling you tonight, by the help of the Lord, that there's going to be many people saved during the Great Tribulation. And if you turn over into Revelation, we're talking about time, because all these things are going to happen. All these things are going to happen on the time period. But I guess I should turn it back over to Joanna here for a minute and let her say what she wants to say, and then I might be able to get back on this. I'm not sure. All right.
Praise God. Good preaching there, Brother Green. And he's talking about sowing seeds, and it's a time to sow. I believe it was Paul that said that one plants and one waters, but God gives the increase. And if we've ever been, there's a famine in the land, there sure is one now for the Word of God. And the true Word of God is what we're talking about. They'll believe lies, they'll believe fables, they'll run after every wind of doctrine, but they don't want to listen to, they don't want to hear the truth. Praise the Lord. I want to take this moment to thank everybody that has commented, and all the 26 people that have said happy birthday to my mother. She is sure a blessing to us. Today is her 69th birthday, and I sure thank the Lord the day that my mother asked me, and she kept persistent at asking me to go to church. And I finally went to church with her, and I give my heart to the Lord, and I'm giving God all the glory and all the thanks. And, you know, if you have a mother, a good mother, you need to give honor where honor is due, and I sure thank God for my mom. And I want the Lord to bless her with many, many, many more years, and she is a wise woman. The Bible talks about a virtuous woman as more precious than rubies, and I sure thank God. You know, her children will say she is blessed, praise God, and she surely is. She's a great woman of God, and she truly loves the Lord, and I sure thank God for her. And I just wanted to take a moment and say that on this day, December the 6th. And I thank the Lord for my mom. Happy birthday, Mom. And also, the Lord, I believe he's dealt with me to give you some scriptures. And it's Ecclesiastes 3. It says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which was planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, and a time to rend, and a time to sow, and a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. You know, I was thinking there's a time here the Lord's talking about for everything, and Brother Green was telling you about the one that's going to gather, and he's going to bundle up the wheat, and he's going to throw it in the fire there where there's weeping and gnashing and teeth. If there's ever a time that we must get ready, it is now. I was thinking how in Mark chapter 1, it talks about, this is talking about Jesus when he came out of the wilderness for 40 days, tempted of Satan. He was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. If ever there's a time, folks, the kingdom of God is at hand. It has been when Jesus walked the earth, and after that, shortly, he went and he gathered and he chose the disciples that was going to help him minister and preach this gospel that we're preaching to you tonight. And, you know, since that time, praise God, and since he died on the cross, there was never a time like that, that after he rose from the dead, that you can and I can be saved, and how he had went into paradise and he delivered them that were captive and he set the captive free, and how he moved paradise into heaven, the third heaven. Paul said, I know a man. He said that in the body or out of the body, I know not. And he was talking about himself, but he didn't want to boast. And I believe that's why he said that I knew a man. But he was talking about him, and he didn't know whether he was in his natural body or not in his body. But he knew that he went to the third heaven where paradise was, and he saw that vision, praise God. And you know, Jesus set the captivity they were loose, and they rose when Jesus rose, and they entered in the holy city, praise God, and appeared to many. Hallelujah. You know, there's never a time like that time started. The kingdom of God is at hand, that now we must repent, praise God, and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we must preach it unto all the world. Revelations 1 says, John, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto me, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and he that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. We're talking about time tonight. It is time now, church. Praise God. John the Revelator, we know that God spoke to him, and he gave him the things about the seven churches in Asia, and each one of them he had found fault with. And, you know, there was five of them that he found fault with. Two of them he did not find any fault with, and that is Smyrna and Philadelphia that he didn't find any fault with. They were overcomers. They were already in that place that God wanted them to be in. You couldn't go any higher than the Church of Philadelphia, and we must be in that place. This is an individual condition, I believe, personally, and others that I have come across in my lifetime believe this as well, that this is a personal condition that you and I are in today. Are you in the church of Smyrna? Are you in the church of Philadelphia? Check yourself. Look in the Word of God and see if you're in that other one, if you're in the Pergamos. I don't remember all the names of them. I don't have all the names in front of me. But are you in Sarda? Or are you in these other with some of the churches, Thyatira, the Laodiceans. Are you in that church? Are you in the other five church that God had found fault with? He wants you to be an overcomer tonight. Praise God. In Revelations 21:1, praise God. Let's read this. Revelations 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, of the Lamb, and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there a tree of life. Praise God. What's that mean? The tree of life is Jesus. He's the one that heals the nations. You'll see in verse 2, at the end of that, it says, wherefore the healing of the nations. Jesus was the one. The leaves of that tree were for the healing. We know that by his stripes we are healed. This is talking about Jesus being on either side of the river. What river? The river of life. Praise God. He was on this side of the river, and he's on that side of the river. In verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no more night there, and they need no candle, for neither of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Praise the Lord. And he said unto me, these things are fulfilled and true, faithful and true. And the Lord God and the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of this book. And he said that in the beginning in chapter 1 that we just read to you. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brother and the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. We're talking about time. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Praise God. Where? He said, in the churches, praise God. And I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto man, every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Praise God. The bridegroom is going to call. someday. He's going to call our name, and we're going to be ready with his name written in our foreheads. And we better be ready because this is so real, folks. And you know, we're trampling this underfoot, some of the people. They just cast it away. Here in the United States, they just take it for granted, the freedom that we have. Somebody said it earlier. I believe Sister Gladys was saying, you can't have two masters. You either love one and you hate the other. If you choose not Christ today, you automatically choose to follow after Beelzebub, which is the devil, that old Satan, Abaddon. It's talking about in Revelation, the devil's called Abaddon. He sure is a bad one. Praise God. And you know, you better serve Christ. He is the winner. He is the one that if you cross over the winning side, cross over that line, make that choice tonight to be on the Lord's side. Praise God. One day there's going to be a wedding. Praise the Lord. And there's going to be no excuse. The Bible talks about a man going to have a wedding, and he had guests that he wanted to invite to the wedding, and there was excuses why they couldn't come. One had gotten married. Another one had to tend to his field, his land. And there was all kind of excuses. But he said to go out to the highway and hedges and bid him to come. God's going to have guests. He's going to have a bride. And there's going to be guests at that wedding. Praise God. Are you going to be there? I'm going to be there. Are your robes going to be white? Or is it going to be without spot and blemish? Praise God. We must get ready. God's talking to the churches tonight, all the way to the end of Revelation and chapter, praise God, 21. Praise the Lord. He said he's talking to the churches. Get ready, get ready. The Bible in chapter, Revelation 22. Read the entire thing. It's so good. I tell you. The Bible talks about the churches of being a candlestick. He talks about one place he's going to snuff out the light, praise, if they don't be overcomers. And there's two witnesses. He called them the candlesticks. And the two witnesses, I believe that it's Smyrna and Philadelphia. I believe it's two groups of people. I believe Elias has already come, Elijah has already come. He said that, Jesus said that when he spoke of John the Baptist, said that Isaiah has already come. Has already come. Praise God.
It's right here.
Come on down there. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read this here real quick.
Matthew 17.
Praise God. God is good. I'm going to turn this back over to Brother Green. We have 4 minutes left. God is good. Just read that, Revelation 22, where he talks about the church. Praise God. And I believe it's chapter 14 of Revelation, where it says that the devil's going to make war with the saints. And you know, Israel, when Jacob's name was changed to Israel, Israel means people that love God. The Jews at that time were the ones that followed after God of the Old Testament, which is Jehovah, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. He's the one that the Jews had followed, which is Jesus. We know that he's the one that was in the burning bush when Moses said, who can I say sent me, if they ask? And he said that I am has sent you. Tell them that I am. And Jesus says, I am. Jesus said, I am. Praise God. I am before Abraham is what he was talking about. Praise God. So you and I are the Israel tonight. You and I are New Jerusalem. Today is the day of salvation. Praise God. We're going to be raptured out of here someday before the wrath of God is poured out. Will you be ready? Whether you be Jew, Greek, male, female, it doesn't matter. Today is the day. There, you can't enter in no other way except through Jesus Christ. And if we be raptured out of here and there's people left after this and they get saved, where's their rapture? Think about it, church. He's talking to us in Revelation 22. He said he was talking to the church. Praise God. We must get ready. It's hard to understand. Some people say we want to stop. Most of the church, probably 99% of the church, wants to stop at chapter 4 of Revelation. And they don't want to hear about the rest because people have been telling them they're not going to be here. But we better get ready. If it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. And I don't want to be one of them. I want to be one of them that is in Joel's army, chapter 2. This is that the prophet Joel spoke about. We're going to walk in rank, and we won't break rank. We won't thrust one another. We'll have no guile in our mouth. Our hands will be pure, and our hearts will be clean. Praise God, and we'll follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. We'll be able to do exploits, to climb on the mountaintops. I know it might sound silly, but read chapter 2 of Joel. And he said to sound the alarm, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and that's what we're doing here tonight. Praise God, get ready. I believe we're going to have a body like Jesus. There is a catching away before the great tribulation, and it's just going to be a few. It's not going to be the entire church. And this is how I believe, and I'm just putting my heart out there. And you're going to have a glorified body, and you're going to come back to help the rest of the church, which is the woman in chapter 12 of Revelations, where she'll be in the wilderness, where she'll be nourished a time and a half a time. Praise God, get ready. I believe the Lord is allowing me to say this across the whole airwave tonight, because it's coming of the Lord is soon. And we better get ready. Are you ready? Is your heart pure? Is your hands clean? Are you following the Lamb wherever he goeth? Are you following Jesus? Be careful. Woe to them when they say that he's in the mountain. Woe, be careful when they say that he's over in the city or he's over here or he's over there. You know, when Jesus comes, we will know. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. You will know when Jesus comes, and you better watch out for the Antichrist, because he is here, and he is sticking up his old head, and he's given power, and praise God, but God is even greater. God's coming on that white horse someday, and he will come for his saints. Praise God. I'm going to turn it back to Brother Green. 25.
Let's go out with prayer tonight. And if you're not saved, just find your place to pray and just call on the Lord. Heavenly Father,
Lord God, Lord, in the name of Jesus,
we're asking you, Lord,
to
move for souls out there tonight.
If someone
they're not saved,
help
them, Lord, to repent.
Yes, Lord, help them, Lord, to
help
repent,
them, Lord, to call on your name, Lord,
of
sincerity and truth, Lord, to
God,
seek you while you may be found, Lord.
Lord,
let them ask
God,
in faith, believe, and nothing doubting. Lord, we know
way,
that you're the
God,
Savior.
Jesus
is the way, the
yes,
truth, the
Lord.
Life. And Father, we know we must come by your Son, Jesus. And we're asking you, Lord, to save these souls all across the globe, around the world. Lord, we thank you for the grace of God to bring us salvation tonight. And asking you to move to heal the sick and those afflicted, Lord. In Jesus' name, encourage them that are discouraged tonight. Lift them up, Lord.
Yes, God.
Help people, Lord. Put a hedge around your people, Lord. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name.
Praise God. Remember, Brother Yearwood's broadcast on Tuesday nights. It's blogtalkradio.com/reaching the world for Christ around the world. Praise the Lord. Good night, everybody.